a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello once again, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, your one-stop shop for green and gold. And as we travel through April, we inch our way closer to the NFL Draft. My name is Mike Wellman. Matt Frelick joining me today is we're going to break down a trio of inside linebackers who could be potential fits in Green Bay this upcoming 2021 season. And Matt, it's good to have you back on, and it's going to be interesting to talk about some of these linebackers. All of them bring something different, and they all could fit the Showberry defense in different ways.
Absolutely, Mike. Excited to break down the linebackers with you. Getting to the defensive side of the ball from receivers from last week, but exciting to look at these backers. Like you said, possibly could fit into the mix with the Showberry defense. We'll see. And I feel like Andy Herman, when he sets up these groupings of players, he does his diligence as well. He's not just throwing darts at a dartboard. Like, he's specifically picking three guys, and just like the receivers, there's almost like one guy that stands out from the other two that maybe doesn't look exactly the same, but plays at a different type of level.
Agreed. And like last week, when you talked about some receivers that could have been might be options at 29, I think we can both say these are guys who probably won't be in play in the first round, but if they were to trade up in the second round, or if they're there in their original second round pick, then you might think about pulling the trigger on some of these guys. But you got to think, none of these three are probably going to be that pick at 29.
Yeah, I mean, there's one guy in this list that I've heard, I'll use the word volatile, where his selections have been made. I think maybe those are some outlier opinions, but overall, like you said, from the Packers' perspective, always grabbing value when they can get value. I don't see value in a first round pick on these guys unless their draft board's way off from what, the consensus is.
Absolutely. So let's just jump right in. We'll talk about Nick Bolton first, linebacker out of Missouri, 6'2", 32, finishing his junior year with the Tigers. And this is an interesting one because we talked with our third partner, Gage Richard, who couldn't join us this time, but he gave us some of his thoughts on Bolton. He said he would not touch Bolton with the 10-foot pole, saying he's a thump in the run game, but he doesn't have the lateral skills or coverage ability to be a three-down player in the NFL. We talked a little bit about SEC linebackers as well before we started recording, but I don't know if Bolton... I agree, he might be a little stiff, but can he be a linebacker in space in the modern NFL, especially taking on some of these running backs that the NFC North has?
I don't know, man. Honestly, like Nick Bolton to me, and I said this to you before, like, he looked like a box safety to me. Now, if you would have asked me 8 years ago if the Packers would have drafted this guy, I would have said, potentially. It depends who they had sitting back there. If Atari Bigby's still back there, MD Jennings, yeah, let's get a guy like that. But at the end of the day, like, Nick Bolton is not super athletic for a guy you'd want at that size to play the hybrid position. He also, he's a thumper, but the Packers already had guys like that. Like, we're, as a fan and as someone that tries to have the best intentions when I'm rooting for my team, whether they're signing someone or whatever, I look for the overall goal of the team, not just like this quick burst. And like, for me, Bolton, I don't see that he checks boxes for what they are lacking as a piece on this defense. You and I talked beforehand, like, Showberry, highly, highly specialized when it comes to the nickel defense and that star position. I don't think Nick Bolton would be that star position. He's closer than maybe some other gentlemen on the team, but overall, he just doesn't seem like a linebacker to me. And like you said, like, to be able to thump those running backs in the NFC North, like, Dalvin Cook, is he going to be able to keep up with him? Absolutely not. Like, there's not a chance that Nick Bolton and Dalvin Cook would ever win in a foot race. You have, David Montgomery. You have other guys that are in the division that I just don't foresee being able to, get slowed down. DeAndre Swift, another one who's going to come into his sophomore campaign, like, a very tough matchup. And I don't see Nick Bolton being a guy that can match up like that.
For sure. And then using one of our favorite tools, the relative athletic score.
Yep.
Bolton, a 4.6. His size was poor, listed at 5'11". He did run a 4.640, but that 10-yard split was 1.71. So it seems like he's got good late acceleration, but early on he doesn't get off out of his stance or out of that two-point stance quick enough, which could be a problem if you're facing a screen or if you're facing anything in space. That's definitely something that makes me a little nervous.
Now, when he gets going, like, you don't obviously want to get in his way. I mean, this dude out of the three,
he's a missile.
He lays some wood, man. Like, he is a heat-seeking missile. And I mean, there's a couple highlights where he's going, like, you know, college quarterbacks, talking about this last week, like, college quarterbacks can make or break you. And, like, Nick Bolton's taking all the advantage of, if there's a quarterback that's, you know, leading receiver over the middle, he was, I don't want to say headhunting, it sounds dirty, but he was coming for you. Like, he does it, you know, he makes hits the right way. You know, real enforcer over the middle. I just don't see him fitting into what the Packers are trying to do. I could see him absolutely dominating special teams for someone. You know, one of the 32 teams. I think he could be a great special team guy. I just personally don't see him as a dude that can really cover in the league, and I don't see him fitting a role that the Packers don't already have on the roster.
For some reason, he just screams Pittsburgh.
He does seem Pitts. He does seem scream Pittsburgh. You know, it's every year I go into a draft, Mike, and I'm just like, ah, Pittsburgh, they'll never draft a linebacker. They have a linebacker. And then what do? Draft a freaking linebacker. Just add to that fraternity.
For sure. Because especially, like, even lateral was kind of off. His shuttle was 4.5, three cone 7.4. It did have a solid broad jump, so he's explosive. Like we said, he can really hit. But again, yeah, this screams like a two down linebacker, goal line guy, special teamer. That's something that I don't think they take in the first two rounds. If they do, I mean, I'll be the biggest fan of Nick Bolton. But I just don't see that happening compared to some of the other linebackers in this class. This is a pretty good class. It's actually a pretty decent class for inside linebackers.
It is. There's a lot of quality names, a lot of quality players. And I think we've seen that in the last couple years from the draft. There's just been these guys that are just, and we'll get into this a little bit later with the next two, like, where they have these body types that, as a Madden fan, as someone that just, like, looks at, like, the strict height, weight, and maybe combine scores, like, I love them. One thing I wanted to note, or maybe ask you, Curtis Bolton, Nick Bolton, no relation, right? We don't have to worry about cousins or anything. I don't think so. Want to see how deep you went into your picks or your notes. I don't think that either, but, you know, just food for thought.
No, I do remember Curtis, though. I did like Curtis.
Me too.
About Frisco, Texas, I don't see anything that I can find.
All right, cool.
With any sort of relation. But then again, a few weeks ago, we did mess up Jordan and Jermaine Whitehead previewing the NFC Championship game, which was always so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So let's move on to our next player, and this is going to the Bayou. We're going to go to LSU, and that's Jabril Cox. Mm-hmm. No relative athletic score. He didn't do any testing, but 6'3", 232, and he doesn't look his size. He looks lean and quick, and he's definitely a lot more fluid than a guy like Bolton. But he's a guy where, is he going to be able to step up to the next level? He went from FCS to FBS to the SEC, and now he's going into the NFL as a redshirt senior. Can he make that next jump?
I like Cox a lot. Jabril Cox is the type of dude that's just like, when I watched tape on him in real time, right? Like, when I actually watched SEC football this year, you know, to be honest, I didn't catch a lot of Missouri games, but LSU games, love watching LSU play. Like, they're just so much fun on either side of the ball. And Jabril Cox, number 19, was the guy that would jump off the screen to me on defense. He's all over the place. He can rush the passer. He can play coverage. He has decent run support. To me, this is a guy that I don't watch an absolute enormous amount of, you know, college football. I'll probably catch at least a game or two every Saturday, if not more, depending on when the really great matchups happen. But when, you know, there's a handful of guys when I go to the draft before I've even started doing my research, and Jabril Cox is one of those players where it's just like, dang, he would look good if he swapped out that yellow and purple for some green and gold. Like, that's the type of guy that I want on the Packers, and he checks boxes for me too. Like, he can, you know, create pass deflections, create interceptions. He's all over the place, and, you know, Bolton's a decent player, as we discussed. But we already have guys like that in the Packers, where I feel like the Packers are lacking someone like Jabril Cox, where you can put him in space, you can kind of be versatile with him. And we talked about this last week as well, that the Packers want to add players that can do multiple things. And you see that with their offensive linemen they drafted, their front seven, their secondary, across the board, like running backs everywhere. You want guys that can do multiple things because it's tougher to match up against on either side of the ball. And Jabril Cox, to me, the only, you know, couple things, like, is he 230? Maybe. He could be. You and I talked beforehand. Like, I didn't see that. Maybe he is. You know, other than that, I think there's a little bit, and Gage mentioned this too. I don't want to omit his. He said, you know, he was an interesting pick for him. Liked the coverage a lot. Wasn't the best processor. And what he's saying is just like not gathering the data as fast as he needs to react on a super fast offense when you come to the league. But I think that's a teachable thing. Like, you can't teach size, you can't teach speed, instincts you can't teach, but you can definitely fine tune instincts and get someone to react better. So Jabril Cox is someone I'm super high on.
And that's the thing where Joe Barry, I think, really comes in, because Joe Perry made his bones originally as a linebackers coach. He won a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay as the linebackers coach, working with guys like Derek Brooks originally under Tony Dungy and then John Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he made his mark. He was with the Chargers with linebacker coach when Melvin Ingram was making his first steps, and Sean Phillips when he was young there. And so he's a guy where he can really work with these guys. Preston Smith, another one in Washington. He can get these guys to work better. And I think that's where he's going to be dialing with the linebackers, with Kirk Olivadotti and with Mike Smith. And, yeah, and Jabril Cox is a guy that the Packers don't have. Like I said, they need that guy who can play in space. That guy, like Kamal Martin and Nick Bolton, I think, have a lot of similarities. They're going to be downhill thumpers. They're going to run through you and make you feel every hit you take for the next year. Chris Barnes, the very intelligent, very savvy, wise beyond his years linebacker who's going to be solid and not make many major mistakes. Jabril Cox is a guy who's going to play in space. He can go sideline to sideline. He has a good understanding of where the zones are and where the routes are going to go. He's a guy who can, like I said, he's going to be a playmaker in the passing game. That I can't think of the last time the Packers had a linebacker who can do that playing inside, probably since they switched to the 3-4 in 2009. I don't think they've had one.
I honestly, I was trying to think of someone quick and I can't. And the fact that you said switched from the 4-3 to the 3-4 just means that it's, even if there was a player there, it's not even the same NFL anymore. So it's like, I don't even know who that player would have been. I'm trying to think.
Maybe Nick Barnett.
Nick Barnett's a decent one, but even then that's like, never Nick Barnett. Nick Barnett is way closer to AJ Hawk than he would be to Jabril Cox. So it's just like, I don't think they've ever had a guy like that, and I've wanted it for years. Like, there's been guys on the last 5 years that have come out of, you know, any conference out of the NCAA, and I've wanted them to be selected by the Packers. Now, let's remember the Mike Pettine era and, you know, everything before that. It's a different defense now. As you mentioned, Joe Barry might favor linebackers a little bit more, having been a former position coach for linebackers. He might favor these hybrid guys because he's such a big advocate of the nickel defense in that star nickel backer position. So I'm hoping, and I've said this for a few months now, that I since Joe Barry was brought in, I have a strong feeling they're gonna let Joe Barry go get a guy or two. Like, you see that often when a team anywhere across the league does that. They want, you know, their coach to feel comfortable on either side of the ball, whoever it is, head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, let him go get a guy or two in free agency or the draft and let him instill what he needs to do best, because, you know, you can't fit a round peg in a square hole. Like, let him get a guy that can fill in his needs. And I honestly think Jabril Cox could be a smash hit.
There's a question for you then. If he is in the middle of that second round, if he's in that 45 to 50 range out there, do you entertain trading up to go and get him?
Absolutely. Like, my only hesitance would be what happened with your first pick. That's all that matters. Like, if somehow and there's many scenarios I could throw out here. I'm not going to throw them, but it would depend on, like, you know, if you want defense, if you trade up, offense, trade it. Like, it's across the board. He's a guy that I wouldn't, you know, once you get past, I mean, there's never a bad time to trade up for a guy if he's high on your board. If you see value there and you know there's a gap, if you will, where you're supposed to be picking, I have no problem trading up for, you know, to get better equity in the draft. And if that's where they need to get to go get Jabril Cox, I'm for it. I'm way in on that. I like that idea.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think of the primary linebackers that have been talked about over the past few weeks about the Packers being picked, I think I like Cox the most out of all of them over guys like Zaven Collins or Bolden or Chaz Surratt or the next guy we're going to be talking about in a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. I think he's the best fit, and the one thing, like we've talked about now, the Packers do not have. The Raven Green was the closest thing they had who would play that type of role. He's not coming back. They unless they go and bring another hybrid safety in, he's probably their best bet to fit what that role can be.
I agree. I totally agree with you. And, like, I can't think of a position that I've wanted the Packers to get You know, I'm a big fan of safeties. I have been for my entire life, and like especially now that we're like the league has changed, like safeties are even, you know, more important. And you play with at least two on the field at this point, sometimes three depending on the sub package. I mean, you know, in a nickel package, a smaller linebacker could be considered a safety, whatever. And I feel like the Packers have two really, really amazing players in Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage in a traditional football mentality of maybe someone of an older generation say, hey, they have two. How would you fit a third guy in the field that does the same thing? But that's where it's going. And the Packers haven't had that spot or made that a priority in many, many years since the NFL's adapted to more of a sub package mentality. So I go get a guy. He's not a free agent. You don't have to spend a lot of money on him. He might be a first round, more than likely a second round pick. So you're not going to have to pay too much for him, but give it a gamble, see what Joe Barry can throw together, and he might be the missing piece to allow the other front seven guys to be able to do what they do best and clear up some, you know, maybe some muddy depth charts.
For sure. So let's move on to our third guy. And you talked about earlier how Andy always has his lists. I think there's no shock that he would with three SEC linebackers here. So now we're going up to Kentucky, and that's a Jamin Davis. On the relative leg score, 6'3", 234, a 9.93 elite athletic grade. Ran a 4.48 40, a 1.53 10-yard split. That is extremely fast. Broad jump of 11 feet, 42-inch vertical. This guy is a monster athlete. The only thing that's against him is maybe his size and his frame. But another guy who can really run. But is he a workout warrior, or is he gonna? Can he be a bona fide NFL linebacker? Is the main question.
Other weakness: 11 career starts only. Now, you know, I'd be lying if I said I knew who Kentucky had at linebacker that was playing in front of him last year or the year before. But I do know that they've had some good linebackers, and that defense is pretty damn good in the SEC for the Wildcats. But Jamin Davis is the guy I referenced early on in the intro, Mike, where he. I've heard that he could possibly go first round. I've heard second round. He is all over the place. And it really, it's so strange because you say that Olympic talent or that combine warrior, and Gage mentioned that in his notes as well, call him, what did he say? Underwear Olympics. So other good term, but like for a long time, like, the combine numbers were so gospel, and now they're like, we're almost doing not a 180, but like where we're like skeptical. All of a sudden, we like, instead of putting a lot of weight into whatever metric it is, we've kind of been like, is it really that important? That we saw that a ton with 40 times this year. That was a huge thing. Like, it was bizarre to me. But really, if like you can play, you can play. And the one thing with Jamin Davis is like that athletic score is huge. Like, you can, and like I said that earlier with Nick Bolton, or excuse me, with Jabril Cox, like, just because you have some lack of production or lack of career starts or whatever the case may be, like, you can get that. If you're a project guy, that's okay. That's not a big deal. The Packers aren't a team to sway away from a project guy. They've done that with Kenny Clark. They've done it with Rayshon Gary. They've done that with a few other players that they're okay investing in because they're not in a desperate mentality. The Packers have never been a desperate team in my 30 years of existence, and I'm sure there has been those moments, but they really, really are strategic with what they do. They're not a fanatic. They look through the lens of the team and their selections and their whatever they're doing with the long plan instead of the short term. And if Jamin Davis is in the long term plan, that's great. There's some comparisons that I saw, and we talked about this earlier. KJ Wright, Darius Leonard, two really, really good guys. The two other things I want to throw out there that I've kind of listened to some interviews and some blogs on him, like. Eventually, like, Jamin Davis is like, if the NFL didn't work out, they asked him, like, what would you want to be? He's like, a corporate lawyer. That's interesting. Another quote he goes by is like, you can't have a $1 million dream with a minimum wage work ethic. And I think something like that, it might just be on an Instagram or a Twitter bio, but you can't teach work ethic. That's something that you can't teach. You can't teach athleticism, but you can teach the playbook. You can teach instinct to some extent. Jamin Davis might be a project guy the Packers want to invest in.
For sure, and now I want to make that quote, and I want to make one of those motivational posters to put on my wall.
That is
a great line, you're right.
Isn't it good? He was with an interview with Daniel Jeremiah, and then, like, I sat there, I'm like, I've never really heard that quote before, or even something around those lines. I mean, maybe in a roundabout way, but, like, good perspective from a young man who, you know, he's, what, 21 years old? So I like his perspective, and I think that's something that the Packers buy into a ton. They usually are huge when it comes to character, huge when it comes to someone that is really, really invested into their career and how to approach the game as a business.
It sounds like very much like a current Packer who also played linebacker at the University of Kentucky, Za'Darius Smith.
Good pull. Good pull. I forgot about Za'Darius being Kentucky guy. That's not a crazy comparison to take, but I mean, the tenacity, and maybe he'd bring him under his wing a little bit, but what do you think about Jamin Davis? Like, do you see him as a first round grade potentially, Mike? Did you see that also where people had him in the first round, or was I reading some bad stuff?
I'd seen it, and I think that was right after the workouts, because again,
right,
even like going back to when there was a normal combine, guys would shoot up the boards for a couple weeks after they test well, but then guys would start watching some more tape and they'd start to sink back down again. We kind of saw that with DK Metcalf. He mm-hmm. shot up the boards right away because he had that freakish combine, except for his three cone. But then they started watching. They saw some injury stuff at Ole Miss. They saw some route running issues, and then he dropped. I don't think this is going to be like that. I think Davis will end up being a solid second round pick, because even though he does only have really 1 year of starting experience, that 2020, those numbers are great.
Mm-hmm.
102 tackles, four tackles for loss, a sack and a half, three interceptions, including a touchdown, and a forced fumble. Those are big numbers in at a Kentucky school that isn't a massive football powerhouse in a very, very tough conference.
Absolutely.
And we have a freak athlete like he's testing out as. He's rated pretty well by the Draft Network. And I said before, Gordon, I've been compiling basically a spreadsheet averaging the draft rankings from 11 different sources at each position. As of right now, Jamin Davis is linebacker 7, and I've compiled 7 of my 11 sources to make this list so far. His highest ranking is from The Athletic, where he is number 36, and he's their 4th-rated linebacker. Jabril Cox is linebacker 5. His highest score actually goes over to, I think it's our very own Ross Uglum has him the highest at 42. Nick Bolton is linebacker 4. His highest is from Pro Football Focus. He is 33rd. So they're right in that 4 through 7 linebacker range. Everyone agrees that the top 2 are Micah Parsons and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, and then probably Zaven Collins. But then those next guys are all kind of in that similar mid-second round mix. And it depends on what defense you want. And I think Jamin Davis, if he's there at the end of the second round, you make that pick. You get a freak athlete, even if he doesn't become an everyday linebacker. You know, if that work ethic quote is accurate, he does play like that, he will for sure be on the field on defense for at least a good amount of snaps, and he will be a special team monster.
That's the silver lining, right? Possibly special teams. If you're filling the stat sheet for me, you're in. And there's really, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Like, I have nothing to validate this, but I feel like if you're filling the box score in high school, college, I feel like that translates to the NFL. If you're getting block kicks, defensive touchdowns, sacks, tackles for losses, fumble recoveries, like, something tells me you can play the game of football, and that's going to translate. Now, the biggest outlier and the biggest gap, skill gap, is always speed. But I think from based off of what we've seen from Jamin Davis, like, he has the speed. We're not too worried about that. And he could potentially play special teams if they want, if he's still that project guy. Think of Rayshon Gary a couple years ago, where he came in, he basically did nothing his rookie year. He was, if anything, when he looked like on the field, a liability. At least you could put Jamin Davis on special teams where you really couldn't put Rayshon Gary. Let him move a little bit, let him make some plays, let him earn his way, and potentially could turn into the hybrid type player that we've been talking about that the Packers need. But really, like, it's for me, and maybe I'm wrong, or maybe you don't agree with me, but right now it's Jabril Cox 1, Jamin Davis 2, Nick Bolton 3. And that's just based off of what I've looked at. I am surprised that you said Jamin Davis off of your average of the seven you've compiled, which is impressive to do that. Like, he's at the seventh linebacker spot, but that might just be the fact that the linebacking core, as you mentioned to start, is pretty damn deep.
Yeah, and even that's kind of thrown as an outlier because the Draft Network has Baron Browning extremely high from Ohio State right now.
Strange.
Which I'm going to adjust that tonight because they keep on adjusting their board daily, so I'm going to be doing some adjustments tonight after I edit this. But with Davis, there is one thing that makes me nervous, though, because he is an athletic freak. We like him to be a Rayshon Gary, but there's also the chance, or Jabril Cox too, that they end up being Oren Burks.
Oh, man. That's tough. Mike, this is such a fun episode. You're going to throw Oren Burks out there like that. That's terrible.
To be fair, Oren Burks, I still think, could maybe do something with Joe Barry, with a new coordinator. I think Pettine gave up on him. But remember, he looked really, really good his rookie camp before he got hurt, before he tore his pec.
He did struggle with injuries, and it's not only the pec. He's had a couple along the way. But Oren Burks is the guy I completely forgot about, honestly. He was off my radar. But yeah, maybe Joe Barry is the guy that could revitalize him that way. But at the end of the day, like I said that earlier, like they've made an attempt at finding a person like that, like the Oren Burks or the hybrid type safety linebacker, but they've really never, in my opinion, really invested a ton of draft equity in that. Is Jamin Davis, Jabril Cox, Nick Bolton one of those guys? We'll see, but they're definitely, in my opinion, not first round grades. The Packers might have them differently, but that really wouldn't be a huge pull if you're drafting them in the second round.
No, yeah, I think second round is a very good spot for these guys. If any of them drop into the third, you are sprinting to Zoom or whatever it is that you're getting into Roger Goodell this year. You make those picks. But I agree, yeah, none of them I think are first round guys, but it's always fun to talk about these guys. We're only a few weeks out of the draft. This has been a blast so far. And next week, we're going to be diving into a full position group, which will be fun. And we're going to be seeing who's going to be replacing Jamal Williams in the Packers' backfield. We're going to take down the running backs next week, which for me will be the Jarrett Patterson and Garrett Groshek hour. But it's going to be a blast. And Matt, I'm glad you guys are joining us this month. So what do you got working on?
Working on draft prep, to be honest. Like, I like to educate myself in the draft process. Been a little busy with personal stuff going on, but it's always nice to have a reason to dive into the draft more, a reason to just stay in tune with it and, you know, get some, you know, peripheral information that falls in my lap. But other than Pack-A-Day, still with Game On Wisconsin. We just finished the Tournament of Hate bracket, which Skip Bayless won. Not really surprising. Maybe of a chalkier Final Four, but it was an absolute blast along the way. Other stuff I have going on, nothing really Packers related, but you can still connect with me on Twitter, slide into the DMs, interact with my page as much as you wish. If you have some players you want to throw my way, if you think Nick Bolton might be the next fresh thing for the Packers, let me know about it. You can find me on Twitter at Matt_Frey_. That's at MATT_FRA_. Mike, what do you got cooking?
Mostly, yeah, just making the sheet for the draft, getting all my sources organized, figure out. You can find me on Twitter at Mike Wendland, all one word, the last name WENDLANDT. Also, if you're a fan of high school sports, you can watch me on ZaleskiSports.com. I'm covering Neenah Rockets sports this alternate spring season. I just did my third consecutive day of Neenah sports. I had soccer twice and football on Friday nights, and it's been a blast. This is my dream, so it's been a lot of fun. So you can check me out there. Once we get into more sports like baseball and the Northern Lights Football League and Amateur Football League will be coming up in the beginning of May as well. That's going to be a lot of fun as well. And, of course, check us out, our entire Pack-A-Day team, at Pack-A-Day Podcast on Twitter and on YouTube. Andy's done a great job on our YouTube channel with that as well. And, of course, tune in for more stuff tomorrow. And just make sure I get this right so I can find who's going to be in what they're going to be talking about tomorrow. Well, Andy and Perry get the fun one. They get all the great corners. They're going to get Newsom, Samuel, Melifonwu, and Campbell breaking down some of the best corners. And some of them who maybe gone before pick 29. So that's going to be fun for that one. So stay tuned for that. And Matt, until next time, stay warm, stay safe, always carry the G, and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.